This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Ultimately, Bregman's free agency journey ended up very similar to Carlos Correa's. And my feelings afterwards are very similar now to what they were when Carlos Correa signed his three-year, I believe it was $90 million deal, maybe $100 million, with the Twins that had opt-outs after each season. Bregman signs 3 years, $120 million with the Red Sox with opt-outs after each season. So a little more money. But the, like, we're average annual value that was kind of more than what the long-term contracts were going to pay him. So my feelings, Seth, and I put up the poll to see if people are angry with Alex Bregman. I'm not going to reveal the early results because I want people, if you're listening, you can go to my Twitter feed, at Sean T. Pendergast, and go vote. Are you mad at Alex Bregman signing with the Red Sox 3 years, $120 million? I don't think either you nor I are angry with this. I'm fine with it. If it had wound up being a deal that was below, like well below what the Astros had offered with no opt-out, like if it had just been an inferior deal to what the Astros, that it had dragged on this long, I would have been angry about it. I'm not angry. Look, I'm not rooting for Bregman in Boston. I don't have any feelings like that I hope he goes and wins an MVP. To me, the Red Sox are the enemy. I hope he stinks. But I'm thankful.
Oh, I hope he has one of his signature slow starts.
Absolutely.
And people are that Boston is burning.
Yes. But I'm not. The deal he arrived at, the journey now is completely understandable to me. You know, the it was worth the wait for Alex Bregman. You know, he's getting $40 million a year over 3 years.
And he's betting on himself a little bit because it's less total money, but he's got opt-outs. Just as it was with Correa, too, there's no part of me that wishes the Astros had offered him this similar deal because I don't need a guy that, you know, is the homegrown guy, but who is basically turning himself into a free agent every year. And he's just stringing you along.
Yes.
And you're just trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do after this year? Oh, is Alex going to stay or is he going to go? Oh, can I get some tea for you, Mr. Bregman? I don't need that in my life,
no,
damn it.
You don't need to be getting tea for Alex Bregman. I guess that's a good way to frame it, Seth. Would you have wanted the Astros to give this deal, the deal he got, would you have wanted the Astros to give that deal to him? And you clearly the answer is no for you, and it's no for me also. I don't want
40. You're hanging in limbo every single year and trying to figure out, not to mention it would bump you up into the luxury tax even further, the
way
CBT
up,
even further.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to try to plan an account for that every single year.
Yep.
Is he going to stay or is he going to go?
Yeah.
And the only thing you're guaranteed as a team is that if he sucks, he's staying.
Yeah.
He's not, like, if he gets injured, if he sucks, whatever it might be, he's going to stay.
Where do the Red Sox stack up, do you think, on the list of teams where him going there is an extra kick in the junk? You know what I mean? Like, if he'd gone to the Rangers, that's an extra kick in the junk. If he'd gone to the Yankees, I think he stayed in the division. Yeah, like Rangers, Mariners, maybe the Angels, but definitely Rangers, Mariners, because they're in contention right now with the Astros. Yankees for sure. Are the Red Sox on that tier?
No, I
tier below?
I felt a little bit of a kinship with Boston ever since they had their own little dust up with the rule book, and that I feel like the Boston fans have been probably the most like lukewarm in terms of booing the Astros. That Alex Cora is their manager. I mean, they had their own scandal. There's so many ties that I felt a certain kinship with them.
Yeah.
So I that part of it. If you'd gone to the Yankees or something, that would have been a whole different scenario. But I don't feel that way. And then to bring up Alex Cora. I would imagine that all those things that we've been saying about Bregman, or that people from the organization will say about Bregman, obviously Alex Cora feels that same way.
Yeah,
I mean, he's like their he's their giant-sized Altuve up there. Just as Altuve was here saying, we got to keep Bregman.
Right.
You guys don't understand. You know what he brings to the clubhouse with leadership and everything. Alex Cora was up there doing it just from a slightly higher vantage point.
If this were like a real job in the real world and Alex Bregman were applying for it, second baseman for the Boston Red Sox, and he is going to play second base. That's not a misspeak by me. He's going to play second base. If this were a real job that he had to apply for, he definitely would have put Alex Cora down as one of his references, one of his three references. You know what I mean? Like that's they have a good scouting report up in that building up there on Alex Bregman due to the time Cora spent with him. And the Astros have been a public enough team to know what you're getting with Alex Bregman. But this is a move. Like this is clearly a move for the Red Sox, to the extent that, and we've had a couple texters or tweeters point out, like the Red Sox have not been as big a spending team the last few years as they had been, you know, through some of those big poppy years there.
Yeah.
So this is kind of not new behavior for them, but sort of, I guess, reprised behavior for them to overspend like this on somebody.
Yeah, I mean, they don't like the owner up there. I guess this would probably be a vote. Maybe this makes them feel a little bit better about, was it John Henry? People have been very, very upset with him. Yeah. So this is aggressive for a team that hasn't been looked at. They're not going out and trying to buy a championship the way they did in the early part of the century.
No, $40 million a year. That's $10 million more on average annual value than the next closest offer for Bregman.
And I think
crazy overspend.
We've seen this in football, and with the Texans especially, I think the way it's going with a lot of spending in sports is teams are more and more willing to spend a bunch of cash up front.
Yeah.
And then it's less risky for them in the long term. It doesn't screw up all their long-term plans. So if a team, and maybe the Astros start to go this way a little bit more, there's a lot of reasons why you don't want to be on the hook for something 10 years down the road.
No doubt.
For something that's almost definitely not going to work out. If you've got the money and you've got the ability to spend now, spend aggressively on short-term deals. Get the best out of a guy while he's still in the prime of his career. And then, hey, if it works out really well, then you do it again. I mean, that's what the Texans have done with a couple of their players here. Mm-hmm. They've done it a couple times with Laremy Tunsil. They did it with Danielle Hunter this year in free agency. And you're seeing a lot more teams doing it this way.
It's interesting, a texter bringing up, I hadn't seen this. I admittedly have not read a ton of articles about the Bregman deal. It came down about the time that people in our position, Seth, go to bed. You know, it came down to like 9 o'clock last night. If these deals and these trades could start getting consummated during the day, not even during our show, but like during the day, Seth and I would be very appreciative of that. But a texter says, I read that a lot of the money from Bregman's contract was deferred, but no details on how much. I mean, that's something teams are doing now. The Dodgers, most famously with Shohei, they deferred practically all the contract until a decade from now. So, that doesn't move me one way or the other. And that, I'm kind of glad that's a game that the Astros haven't really gotten into yet. Like, the only deferred money I've seen them have to pay is to Zach Greinke, and they inherited that contract from the Diamondbacks, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the ultimate credit card right there. It's a deferred pay. Where you're paying guys cash down the road to not do anything for you, you know?
Right? Yeah, and it can get complicated too. So I don't want them to do it like just because I don't want to think about
that's
it.
That's right. That's right. This is an interesting question. We'll get to McTaggart's big three questions for the Astros here in a couple of minutes. Outside of Altuve and maybe Verlander, are there any other guys from the golden era of Astros baseball deserving of their number being retired? So I guess this is one way of asking, does Bregman get his number retired someday as a Houston Astro? We should point out, I guess, just for context, the Astros did announce they're retiring Billy Wagner's number after he was elected into the Hall of Fame, after he was voted into the Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago. So they are retiring his number 13. He played 9 seasons for the Astros, Billy Wagner.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one, especially it'll get tricky with a lot of these guys because there's so many championships and World Series appearances and ALCS appearances tied to them.
Yeah.
There's only 9, I say only 9, but man, out of 99 possible jerseys, I just don't like retiring numbers.
No, you and I are on the same page on that's a take that you and I are in lockstep on, which is, hey man, this has been my take for a long time on retiring numbers, unless you're going to triple digits at some point. Basically, yeah. If you are retiring numbers, you're one of two things. You either think the world is going to end at some point here in the next 100 years or so, or you're going to start putting emojis on the back of jerseys or things like that. You just go away from numbers because you're going to run out of numbers eventually. Yes, I'm with you on that one, Seth.
So, why would you put Bregman compared to, say, Jose Cruz, who's number 25?
There's listeners who can comment on that better than you and I, because they grew up during Jose Cruz is a lifetime Astro who was the best player. He was the best player on all those teams in the 70s and the early 80s.
Yeah.
So I think Cruz.
The duration of his career with the Astros alone is a big difference.
Yes, yeah. younger fans or people that just moved to Houston, say, in the last 20 or 25 years, may disagree with this or not understand it. But if I had to guess, and I moved here in 94, but I grew up a big baseball fan. I know Jose Cruz's significance having lived here the last 30 years. I would guess Jose Cruz is viewed as more of an Astro legend, especially today, after Bregman signed with the Red Sox, than Alex Bregman is. Even though Bregman was a big part of much more successful teams than Cruz ever was, I would bet Jose Cruz, who still lives in Houston, that kind of thing, is viewed as a bigger Astro legend than Alex Bregman. Weigh in if you grew up watching.
Yeah, there's an age limit on this.
Yeah,
you've got to be 55 years old or older.
Yes, I would agree with that. But as far as the numbers getting retired from the golden age here, Altuve's a lock. Verlander's an interesting one because he only pitched 3 full seasons for the Astros. Yeah. He got here in late 2017. Pitched in 2018 full season, won the Cy Young, or was runner-up, I believe, maybe. He won 2 Cy Youngs and was a runner-up in the only 3 full seasons. He missed 2 full seasons because of Tommy John. The only full seasons he pitched were 18, 19, and 22, and he was the best pitcher in baseball those 3 years. So that's an interesting one to me. He was short-term, super-duper elite, part of both, part of both World Series teams, and they were going to the World Series and losing in 21. He was still, he was still recovering from Tommy John. Altuve's a lock. Verlander is interesting, and beyond that, I don't think there's anybody else who's getting their number retired from that crew.
Yeah, and like I said too, I don't like retiring jerseys. We got with Billy Wagner that makes 10. So I think I said it was 9. I don't think that list included Billy Wagner.
It didn't,
so 10.
Yeah,
we're running out of numbers here, man. I don't have any appetite for that.
I'm with you. All right, let's get to Brian McTaggart. Keep texting in on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. We'll keep reading them here. Bregman's the big topic today. 3 years, $120 million. He's headed to Boston to play for the Red Sox. My dad's texting me right now. I would bet $1 million he's looking for a scouting report on Bregman. He's a huge Red Sox fan. He lives up
there.
We'll
play some Boston's, our sister station up there. Is WEI our sister station?
EEI, yeah. It used to be the sports hub.
I found a couple clips of them talking about the Bregman signing.
Oh, good. We can see if they're...
hear how they're feeling about it.
Yeah, see if their perceptions are accurate and see if we can set them straight if we need to.
Should we call up? You should call up. Let's just have you call in. Figure out some way to make your area code look like it's a Boston area code.
Right.
And call in and give just a scathing take about why it's a dumb idea why this is the worst decision they've ever
made. Should I be calling in as a Houstonian doing that or with a Boston accent?
No, you'd be faking your Boston phone number specifically so that you would sound like a Bostonian.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's true, though, too. Okay, no, use the area code That way you can get through the call screener.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you're on, then you can just tell everybody what's actually up out of Houston.
I have a new age Chicago area code, so I don't think that's going to be a tell.
Okay, I have
a 630 area code, so it's well, not...
I guess that could be the other thing, too, is or you could just call up as Sean T. Pendergast.
You could actually
just like, hey, do you guys want me on? But then do you have it in you to just go scorched earth on Alex Bregman?
On Alex Bregman, talk about how his salsa sucks and everything else? Yes.
Yeah, you can't lie.
No.
You can't make stuff up.
No.
But you're not lying if you say his salsa sucks.
Yeah, that's
it's a watery mess.
That's the truth.
I've vomited up better salsa than that. Like the vomiting salsa was actually better than Alex Bregman's salsa.
I love that. All right, here's you and I are going to spring training in about 10 days. What's today, the 13th? We're headed there on the 23rd that weekend, and then we're there all week long. Monday through Friday, 24th through the 28th. The games start that week. We're going to get to see a bunch of games. We're going to be, Seth and I'll be bumping on to all the shows here in the loop, the drive, Area 45, giving updates, having good conversations, plenty on social, all that stuff. Brian McTaggart, from his email newsletter, Tags does a great job covering the team. His big three questions for the Astros, Seth. Here we go. Do the Astros have enough depth? And I know it's a very broad question, but I thought McTaggart laid it out really well in his newsletter. The three aspects of any team are the everyday lineup, the starting rotation, and the bullpen. And if all you needed was just like a third or a half of those things to function properly for you,
yeah,
it's a really good baseball team. You look at this, like the top five or six in the lineup for the Astros in any order, it'll go probably something like Altuve, you know, Paredes, Yordan Alvarez, Yiner Diaz, Christian Walker, Jeremy Pena, pretty much everybody but the outfield. Like that's pretty good. Like those six guys, that's six very capable major leaguers. The problem is your best outfielder right now. I'm not counting Jose Altuve as an outfielder in this discussion yet.
Yeah.
But your outfield left to right in that scenario, if Altuve's playing second base and Yordan's your DH, is some version of Mauricio Dubon, Jake Myers, and Chaz McCormick right now.
The Chaz McCormick part, top heavy. We talked about it yesterday, and I thought about it. I meditated on it, Sean. I went to a mountaintop, and I sat as close as I could get to that yoga position, which for me is like a modified crisscross applesauce. And I thought, like, all right, let's put things in perspective on Chaz. If you look at the sum total of his four seasons in Major League Baseball, he's an average hitter.
Yeah.
It's just that the last year was an abysmally bad year.
Yeah.
But if I can look at the first 3 years and say, all right, he was an average to above average hitter for the sum total of those three seasons.
Can he recapture that?
Yeah, can he recapture that? Because like I said yesterday, all I want out of Chaz is to be an average major league hitter. Just don't be a drain in the lineup.
Yep.
And I gotta, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's in there somewhere. Whatever the issue was last year, it's got to be in there somewhere.
Yep. So the lineup right now, on paper right now, the lineup is a little top heavy. It drops off a cliff offensively after the first five or six guys. Similarly, the rotation, man, I feel great about Hunter Brown heading into his first full like season as a top line guy. You know, he didn't really become what he was last year until May or June, and then he was amazing. Framber Valdez is Framber. We know what to expect from him. But after those two guys, there's a lot of question marks. You know, can Ronel Blanco be what he was last year? Was that a one-time thing? Can Spencer Arrighetti take that next step? He gave a lot of reasons to be excited about him last year. What are we getting from Hayden Wisniewski, who they just got from the Cubs, you know?
With Wisniewski, I mean, in the Wisniewski, the most encouraging thing to me was the appraisal of people out of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in Chicago thought, well, this guy, he spent most of his appearances have been out of the bullpen, but he's been a starter. But a lot of people in Chicago thought, like, yeah, this guy's got the makings of a starter. And then when you go to the Astros pitching car wash, do you get that same old thing? I'm very hesitant to just expect it, and yet it happens time and time again. I was like, who is that? I was the annoying guy last year, being like, don't think Kikuchi's just going to come in and all of a sudden be a different guy. Ah, crap. He's a different guy.
9-0.
He's the best version of himself.
He's maybe the
all
best
right,
pitcher.
All right.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody again, don't expect Wisniewski to just come on in here.
Do it. It worked last year. Do it again. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I got to be down on Wisniewski.
Yes.
Harder because he's a local kid.
Yeah.
Local guy. He's not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
But he was a kid once when he was there at Cy Fair.
Yep. So again, lineup top heavy. This is Brian McTaggart making this point. Do they have enough depth? Starting rotation, assuredly top heavy right now. The most top heavy portion of this team right now may be the bullpen. You know, where they traded Ryan Presley. I feel good about Josh Hader. I feel good about Brian Abreu. Both of them had their moments last year where they were a little shaky, but I'm willing to roll with them. And then after that, man, like, you're counting on, like, Caleb Ort is like number four down the line in the bullpen right now. You know,
Sean,
what I mean?
this is my completely irrational feel about this. Last year, beginning of the season, you're looking at the pitching depth chart. You're like, how are we going to even work these guys in?
Yeah,
look, oh, we got so many pitchers. We got 19 starting pitchers. Oh, you poor SO. And then all of a sudden, it was gone.
Yeah.
I think the opposite's the case this year.
Yeah.
Where, all right, you've got two guys. Some other guys. Like, I am genuinely optimistic that Wisniewski's going to become a better version of himself with the Astros system and pitching.
But the bullpen, coaching. You got two guys in the bullpen.
The bullpen. I'll get to the bullpen.
Okay.
Because remember, the starting pitching, we might end up by midway through the season having too much starting.
Yeah, pitching. That's right. So you were referring to the starting pitching. Yeah, where we were like, God, there's nine guys. How are we going to find spots in the rotation? Right.
Yeah. So I think that, Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers will be back at some point. Luis, I'm way more optimistic about than Lance, just because of Lance's last
his
three
history,
years.
His history,
But then Wisniewski, remember, can be either a starter or a bullpen guy.
Yeah.
And Javier, at whatever point he returns, and however slowly they work him into, Javier, a guy.
He's been a bullpen guy.
Yeah. So I think it might be kind of creative this year, but barring the disastrous injury situation to the pitching staff last year, I think that, I don't want to say muddle through, because I think it would be like a muddling plus, but they can creatively work into some solutions.
Yep.
Because they've got multiple guys that can do both.
Yeah.
I hope that this is the year that Lance McCullers maybe is, it can maybe be used in long relief
open
or
to
something
the bullpen.
Like that.
Yep. You've talked about that. All right, so that's question number one. Do they have enough depth? And I think having hashed that entire, basically with you and I having hashed out the entire 40-man roster in this segment, I share the concern that they may be a couple guys away from being the clear leader again in the AL West. Question number two, Tags has, will Jose Altuve really play left field? I love the way he phrases that. Here was Bob Nightingale on Area 45 a couple nights ago. Bob Nightingale covers MLB for USA Today, and he says Altuve is actually going to play a lot in left field.
I really believe that Altuve is going to be playing left field a whole lot more than people think. I think their plans are, I could see him playing more than half the games there, no matter what Bregman does. I think that's the game plan to move him there. Then instead of getting their outfielder, they can just go get another infielder or do with what they have right now. So, but I would think, obviously Altuve in left field would make that outfield a lot stronger.
I guess my question would be, if he's going to be playing left field that much, and again, this is Bob Nightingale reporting it, we haven't seen anything as to how this is going to play out in spring training or in the regular season yet. But my question would be, if he's going to play that much, like more than half the season in left field, does he play second base for this team anymore? That would seem to be like going back and forth, getting yo-yoed between second base and left field would seem to be a bit of a muscle memory issue. I don't know. Guys are, Mauricio Dubon's able to do it really, really well and play anywhere. Altuve's never played anywhere other than second base. I'm wondering if the left field has now become where it's either Yordan or Altuve, the other guy's DHing, that kind of thing, just to give Altuve some rest in his older age.
I mean, that kind of handcuffs you in being able to DH other guys.
Yiner, but, I mean, on days off, when he's not catching. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and then a lot of it, we're at a spot, too, where, all right, in stark contrast to the days when the Astros couldn't figure out what they were going to do with all these AAA guys that were major league ready, but there was no spot for him on the team.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at guys like Zach DiZenzo and wondering, like, all right, can DiZenzo come in?
Yeah, he's going to make the team.
Cam Smith, I'm trying to not get excited about Cam Smith myself, but Espada gets up there the other day and says that he could carry the team for years. And I'm like, all right, he's played a little bit of double A in September last year. Yeah. He's for those of you who didn't realize, he was a 2024 draft pick.
Right.
And they elevated him to double A. I don't think it was until September last year. And he did very well, but it's still, there's no part of me that I can't delude myself into thinking like, oh yeah, it's going to be Cam Smith's rookie of the year or something.
Oh no. Yeah, I can't either. So will Altuve really play left field? It appears that was not a Bregman dependent maneuver for the Astros. It was positioned as such back when the Bregman contract started to bubble up again. Remember, like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought the Bregman thing was dead, but now the Astros might want to re-sign him. And Altuve did the interviews on the Fan Fest where he's talking about, like, I would do anything for Alex Bregman, and including play left field. Like, well, no, you're going to play left field anyways, Jose. You know, it's
right.
Not for
yeah,
Bregman.
Maybe that was a, that were
that's what it sounded
well,
like.
It is an interesting dynamic now with Bregman playing second base for the Red Sox. And I look forward to reading some of those articles about how, like, all of that went and whether I wonder what, like, if there were conversations perhaps about trying to move Altuve into left field earlier in the offseason, or if maybe Bregman wants to play second base and be less taxed. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
Last question.
Especially with those, maybe the Gremlins. I hope for the sake of the Red Sox that the Gremlins in his elbow are a real thing.
Ooh.
Like, there's still more Gremlins there.
Mm.
He's got some kind of medical anomaly the way that Carlos Correa did.
Maybe.
And that's why they're, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
That's why he has to play second base. The Gremlins in the elbow,
exactly.
Man. Can't throw it
yeah.
across the diamond anymore. Last question from McTaggart. First two were, do the Astros have enough depth? We're a little nervous about that. Will Jose Altuve really play left field? The answer appears to be yes. I am nervous about that. Which starting pitchers will emerge? The starting rotation right now, as long as none of these guys either gets injured or spits the bit in spring training, is going to be some order of Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Spencer Arrigetti, Ronel Blanco, and Hayden Wisniewski. The two names that McTaggart brings up, Seth, here for starting pitchers emerging, you know, maybe some more guys. Obviously, you got all the Tommy John surgery and arm surgery guys, Lance,
yeah.
Luis Garcia, Christian Javier. We've touched on all of them. Colton Gordon and
yeah.
Ryan Gusto are the names for you and I to watch at spring training. When we're doing
Dana Brown is really hot on Gusto.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So those
will be the guys that you are either going to be lauding them as the future retired jersey numbers of the Astros, or you're going to call them dirty dogs.
Yes.
Depending on how they do in spring training.
Those will be the guys that when you and I are done doing the show and we're at spring
yeah.
training, that we're going to walk around dressed as scouts, you know, with like a Astros golf shirt on that's a couple sizes too small, like a ball cap, and we'll have a radar gun with us, you know.
I'm going to wear a derby.
Yeah, we're a derby hat. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And,
yeah.
And you and I are going to be sitting there chewing on a cigar with a radar yeah. gun. Like, this Gusto's getting up to 95 on the gun, I tells you.
I know. My goal in going to spring training is to piss off every hardcore baseball fan if I don't have people telling me en masse, Seth, don't read into these spring training starts by
right.
pitchers, and then I've failed. I will read into them. Don't tell me not to read into
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
I don't care if they're just working on a slider or something.
Exactly.
Results, baby. That's what
it.
I care about.
That's it.
And a strong jaw.
Piss them off, Seth. Do it. Hey, by the
way, this guy doesn't have the good face.
Did you see the picture of Verlander floating around on social media in his Giants uniform, tossing the ball around?
No.
He looks svelte. He looks like, I mean, remember last year when he came back from his
All right.
oblique injury, and you're looking at it right now.
I'm looking at the picture you had sent me. I didn't think that was why you had sent me that picture. I kind of like he looks like Verlander.
I don't know, man. I thought he looked like he trimmed down a little bit.
Did look a little hefty.
He was hefty.
He looked particularly dad bodded.
Yeah, you and I pointed that out last year when he came back from his injury or whatever.
You know what?
It's
tough with Verlander. Verlander is one of those great athletes who doesn't have the body that matches his
totally.
Ability.
Yeah.
Like Deion Sanders is the prime example of you wouldn't look at Deion compared to other NFL defensive backs and be like, oh yeah, that guy. That's the guy who's one of the best defensive backs who
right,
ever
lived. Right.
Verlander's always been a little bit like that. He's always just kind of had a smoother, almost awkward looking physique.
Well, I think
and yet
Mahomes is the gold standard for that right now. you know, like the body where, like Mahomes just...
Well, he used to be a good quarterback.
It was before the Super Bowl, and now he sucks.
Now he's a horrible quarterback.
Now he stinks. Yeah. No, good point. Good call. Payne and Pendergast with you. Okay, so
you're,
nice deep dive.
You're right,
dive
though. Yeah, Mahomes, because Mahomes doesn't even have... Like, I would look at... You think about, like, Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly didn't have a great physique or anything, but he was a big, sturdy guy.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Similarly. Mahomes got a very unique, awkward body for a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, especially when you see him without a shirt on. Like, he's got a dad bod. Like, he's...
Yeah, but I think there's... But it's even more than that. He's kind of pigeon-toed and everything.
He moves like he has a stick up his butt. Like, he's got a very, very tight walking style. You know what I mean? Very tippy-toe walking style.
He might be one of the biggest differences between his physique and his athleticism of anybody in modern sports.
Yes. Yeah. He walks like somebody who has to take a poop and has, like, holding it, like, has had to take one for, like, 4 hours, and now, like, it's coming. And that's how he walks.
And then I think maybe that's, you know what, I've always accused him of embellishing his ankle injuries.
Right.
But maybe that's just, it's just that it's that he already walks kind of funny. And then when you do have an ankle sprain, it looks that much worse. Although he does scream like a woman in labor on the sidelines, just so everybody knows that he's really, really hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We're going to keep touching on the Bregman signing. That's been the big thing here. As long as we're talking about Mahomes. If we can circle back to the Super Bowl just for 15 seconds here. One of the funniest clips that I saw over the course of the week, because there's still Super Bowl stuff leaking out, mostly because people are mad at C.J. Gardner-Johnson for tweeting about Travis Kelce should have stayed with Kayla Nicole.
Stayed with his previous girlfriend.
Thick girlfriend instead of this beanpole that he's with now, according to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So there's more stuff leaking out from the Super Bowl. This was really funny, though. Nolan Smith, who's a former first-round pick out of Georgia for the Eagles, they took him a couple of years ago. They draft a lot of Georgia guys. Really came into his own this year. You know, Nolan Smith, he was veering towards being a bust at one point.
Right, yeah, and he really came on strong in the playoffs.
Yes.
That was the big thing.
He was number three, if you're trying to remember who, because they got a bunch of guys out there that were making plays. This Nolan Smith loves Vic Fangio.
Man, all I got to do is say shout out to Vic Fangio, man. That man, I know he old, but man, he got so much knowledge up in there, and I can't wait to just take it from him and just take all the knowledge that he could give to the game, man. He's an amazing coach.
I know he old, but he got a lot of knowledge up there.
I'm still so happy for Vic Fangio, and that all those players from the Dolphins a couple years ago acted like Vic Fangio was
soft.
Trash. Didn't use us to, I can't remember which player said, they didn't use us to our capabilities, all of that. This is what you need to know about Vic Fangio. Because I've seen a lot of people describe him as like, oh yeah, he's old school, no nonsense. That he isn't. Like, Vic's not like a hardcore drill sergeant type at all. Because I saw somebody yesterday describe him as old school hard. He's not. He asks his players to do hard things.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things, like in coverage, you might say, oh, he just plays a lot of cover four, no big deal. No, but he asks guys to be really smart about recognizing routes, and they pattern match. That's where you transition from zone to man. And to be good at it, you got to be really smart. And so he asked his guys to do hard things in coverage. And those guys, to their credit, they do it really well. And then when it comes to the pass rush side of things, too, he's really good at scheming up ways to get guys one-on-one to bring the blitz. He didn't blitz in that game at all. He asked his guys to do hard things. And if guys really... like if they're up to the task, it's really, really good. It's just some groups of guys aren't up to the task.
Did you like playing for him?
I loved it. Yeah, he told it. Like, he made me a whole lot of extra money. He transformed me as a football player.
Oh, that's
cool.
I
was a much better football player when I was in Houston than I was before, largely because Vic Fangio's scheme was awesome, and he allowed me and taught me to do certain things that you don't ask. That most people don't even think to ask defensive linemen to do.
Yeah.
Like the way. Like, you change your technique up based on formation, tendencies, splits, and everything. Like, frankly, a lot of coaches think defensive linemen are too dumb to do.
Were you?
But, like, Vic puts that on you, and if you latch onto it and really and really go into it full force, it gets the absolute best out of
you. Was there a point like early on where you were like, God, where has this guy been all my life? You know what I mean? Like, where?
No, early on, you're like, what the hell? What is this guy expecting me to do?
Right.
It seems like too much.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a lot more pre-snap than most defensive linemen do. Where, you know, in some schemes, it's like, put your hand in the dirt and go, son. It's the opposite with Vic.
Yeah.
And that's where those young defensive linemen, I mean, they've drafted three defensive linemen in the first round. I think those guys have all really latched on to it. And it's cool because it allows you to be both a gap control defense, but also at times an aggressive, like as a defensive lineman, sometimes you're playing read and react. Sometimes you're just getting off and going and it's not called in the huddle. You're basing on what coverage, like as a defensive lineman, I'd never once in my life had to think about coverages where Vic Fangio has you're changing your technique based on what coverage you're playing and what you're seeing from the offensive formation. And it's really cool. It's really cool when it works. It's just that you gotta have the right group of guys that can handle all that stuff.
He wasn't old when he was coaching you. He was 46 when he was coaching you. Now he old.
Yeah.
According to
Nolan Smith. Yeah, he's old now.
He old. But he's got a lot of knowledge up there.
But he's not, I think because he's not like a bubbly personality, people assume he's this crusty old football coach.
Yeah.
And he's really not. He's just kind of more of a low-key, he's kind of dry. So sometimes guys don't necessarily get his sense of humor.
Right.
And I'm sure he's gotten drier as he's gotten older.
I remember a couple press conferences he had in his one stint as a head coach in Denver where it felt like he had some one-liners that fell a little flat.
Because
it's just like his delivery, you know?
Well, yeah, and sarcasm doesn't play anymore.
Right.
Everybody's so beat up about the head and ears by social media.
Yes.
It's just, you see so much stupid stuff on social media that you don't even recognize when somebody's being sarcastic because you're like, you have no idea. Like, I don't know, is this guy actually serious with this? I'm going to assume he is.
That's right.
I'm gonna let his employer know about it.
I'm going to get him fired. Listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app, an hour each day. That's going to get you entered into our Slam Dunk in Vegas national contest. If you win, you and three friends are going to head to Vegas to stay at Circa Resort and Casino. It's an amazing sports viewing destination. Their sports book is great. Their stadium swim feature where there's a huge pool with games being played on big screens out by the pool is amazing. You're going to get to take part in all that during the college basketball championship tournament. You're going to get an extra $20,000 in your pocket also to spend. You need to be listening, man. Listen for an hour each day. Download the Odyssey app, and you're going to get your daily entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Mock draft injection time for all of you. We will do that. Coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. You can weigh in on anything we've been discussing today on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Still a bunch of Bregman texts rolling in. I put up a poll earlier if you want to go vote in it. I'll give the early results out in the next segment to this. But the question is a simple one for Astro fans. It's on my Twitter, at Sean T. Pendergast. Alex Bregman has finally signed a deal. It's with the Red Sox for 3 years, $120 million, with opt-outs after each season. Simple question, are you mad at Alex Bregman? Yes or no? So I will reveal where that poll is headed at 8 o'clock today. Yeah,
and I will guess beforehand. Guess. Likely within a margin of, and I'll probably get within a margin of 3%.
You've been really good at guessing lately, man. You've been doing a good job at that.
It's the only thing I'm good at guessing at.
Is the
can I gamble on polls anywhere?
Probably.
I think I can. Yeah. Now don't tell. No, if it gets into like actual political stuff, I'm horrible at that.
All right, we're giving away rodeo tickets in this segment as well to see Zach Top on March the 11th. So be listening this segment for the cue to call, and you're on your way to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. What's up?
You know what? Actually, if I'm good at guessing at polls and everything, if anything, I should be a handicapper more so than But not an actual gambler. Once I have any kind of an emotional tie to it or anything, it's like once there's any actual loss or gain attached to it, I think I choke. That's the problem. That's why I need to be a handicapper, but this does not gamble himself.
The moment gets too big for you.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I second guess myself. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thinking about all the times my dad told me I was dumb. Yeah.
the mock draft injection for today is NBC Sports 2025 Mock Draft 1.0 from Kyle Dvorak of NBC Sports. .com. I don't know how many NBC Sports mockers we do here, so let's do this one here. We do it every day at about this time. What are the mock drafters selecting out there for the Houston Texans? Thus far, we've been doing it this year. We do it every year in draft season. This year, there's been an overwhelming skew towards interior offensive linemen, or offensive linemen in general, with a smattering of Kenneth Grant and wide receivers mixed in as well.
Yeah.
So let's do it here. Let's do this one. And with the 25th overall pick, in the Kyle Dvorak, NBCSports.com mock draft, the Houston Texans select Armon Membu, offensive tackle, Missouri. Now, here's what he says about him, Seth. While there were many issues with the Texans' offense in 2024, the O-line was at the top of the list. C.J. Stroud struggled against pressure, and the Texans allowed an above-average pressure rate. Boy, that's understating things. In fact, no team conceded more unblocked pressures than the Texans. Membu was one of three Power 4 tackles who didn't concede a sack on at least 400 pass-blocking reps. At 6'3", 325, Membu may wind up as a guard in the NFL, though I'd expect any team taking him in the first round to let him try tackle first.
I don't know about that last part. I think he's being projected more as a guard. I mean, 6'3 is 6'3. Just everything I've read about him was that teams are looking at him as a guard, but maybe there's the versatility. People always like the versatility. Nick likes the versatility. There are a couple things about him. One, he's young, which I have a knee-jerk skepticism whenever people get excited about the fact that he's 20 now. I think he turns 21 in March. He's not turning 22 in March, but I think his birthday's in March. So
he's 20 now. He turns 28 in March.
My projection as a draft expert is that his next birthday, he'll turn 21, not some other age. Okay?
That's why you're the
best. That's why you come to Sports Radio 610.
That's why you're the best, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I know it always feels like Kenyon Green was young. I always feel like it's almost like the GM takes like a parent taking a kid to the doctor's office and be like, "How tall is he going to be, Doc? He's going to be an NBA player, isn't he?" Right? Like, no, he's short. His growth plates fused years ago. I worry about the upside of a guy that's, he's young. There's nothing but growth ahead of him. It feels like more times than not it doesn't work out that way.
Especially at a position where you can get C.J. Stroud killed, right?
But I do like this about him. Yeah. He's aggressive. He's nasty. He's got the right temperament. So that's one of his strengths. But as it always goes with these assessments, one of his strengths is he's aggressive. One of his weaknesses is he's over-aggressive.
He's a little too aggressive.
There's times where he's taking bad angles or he gets a little overextended. So he needs some coaching, especially if he's going to move to guard.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot to like about him. And this is about where he's getting mocked a lot is later in the first round, in the second half of the first round.
Yep.
Tyson Booker is not going to be available, most likely. So this guy, this would make sense.
He hit Tyler Booker of Alabama.
Tyler Booker,
is available on
this draft?
Mock, yeah.
Oh, really?
Here's who's been taken already when the Texans take Membu in this draft that we've talked about. Kenneth Grant off the board at 18, the defensive tackle from Michigan who you love. Emeka Ibuka, the wide receiver from Ohio State, who makes a lot of sense for the Texans. He went off the board at 21. Still on the board. If these guys were on the board, Seth, which one would you take? Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas. Tyler Booker, guard, Alabama. Gray Zabel, I'll say offensive lineman, North Dakota State. Or Membu. I'll throw Membu in there right now because that's who got taken.
I'm such a...
You're Nick Caserio. You got to pick one.
I know, but I'm like, and now I've been brainwashed into loving guys from Alabama now that I can't... It's I like Tyler Booker.
Yeah.
I feel like I try to picture him in another uniform playing in a different conference or something, but I like Booker the most out of all those guys. He feels like the most rock solid certainty, but it doesn't need as much coaching or
safe
as much
pick.
Polish. I feel like he's the ready-made guy that, all right, I can see him playing his rookie year. There's positives about every single one of those guys, but I just feel most comfortable with Tyler Booker there.
Text message, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. One of my friend's wives is a diehard Red Sox fan. Last night, he moved his Bregman jersey to her side of the closet.
Oh.
That's a big move right there. It's a big move. Are you going to get... He should get her a Bregman Red Sox jersey for Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Sounds like your friend misses Alex Bregman and wants his wife to wear that in his romantic times.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Like what DeAndre Hopkins
suggested. Exactly right. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes. DeAndre Hopkins.
For those of you who don't know, DeAndre Hopkins once told Sean that he should just have his wife wear his jersey in bed so he can... So since since Sean's so obsessed with
DeAndre
Hopkins.
So I can pretend I'm spooning him, yes. Exactly.
You know what's interesting? One of the guys, Brandon Thorne, who does a lot of offensive line analysis, one of the his comp for Membu, who the Texans take in this draft, is Dwayne Brown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Brandon, who's a smart dude, might think that he projects some more of an offensive tackle than others do.
What would you think if they took a tackle, like a tackle who's going to play tackle in the NFL with that?
If they took a tackle, I would feel like okay, then Titus Howard's definitely playing guard
for sure.
Yeah,
and
just like last year, Caserio wants to have a swing tackle because every single year you end up needing a swing tackle at some point. So it would be. Now, I wonder, too, I think Fisher would still be penciled in as the starter, but maybe it ends up being kind of a competition.
Oh, for sure.
Tackle.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Laramie's going to be the left tackle for sure, but I think, and then maybe it's something where they put their five best guys out there. I don't know if they...
They look at Membu as the swing tackle, maybe they want him to play guard, but know that he can go out there and play tackle if he needs to.
Yep. It's interesting... In this exercise that we do each day here, the mock draft injection, that they've had the draft experts have had the Texans taking interior O-line more than any other position, and I think in every single mock draft you and I have used in this segment, it's been a different name. Like, I don't know that we've had two Tyler Booker drafts yet. I don't know that we've had two Gray Zabal drafts yet. You know, there was another guard that they had him drafting in one of these, not Membu, but a different one, and I can't remember who it was, but I point that out to say this is good. Like, there's a lot of there's some depth at that position, it would appear, in this draft.
At Mock Draft Database, where they take a whole bunch of mock drafts and put them together, for whatever it's worth, the Membu most often goes to the Texans.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So that's the.
So it might play out that way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's significant. All right, 713-572-4610. All right, I put the question to the people. Alex Bregman is no longer an Astro. He's officially, will be soon, he's agreed to a deal with the Boston Red Sox. 3 years, $120 million. How are Astro fans feeling about this? Are you mad at Alex Bregman? What percentage of my Twitter followers who choose to vote are mad at Alex Bregman this morning for the way it played out, for how it played out, whatever facet of this, does it have you feeling angry? We'll have that for you coming up next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.